fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. Why don't you tell us how you really feel, Jeff Blair?
No sleep till...
So to me, it was a moment of no turning back for the Toronto Raptors. With two words in Saturday afternoon, Masai Ujiri gave the franchise the type of credit it hasn't had since the days of Vince Carter. Look, I don't know where it's all going or what it means. The Raptors look like they're going to be hard-pressed to overcome the NBA's, shall we say, suspiciously inconsistent officiating. And I'm not certain that telling Brooklyn to go bleep itself makes it easier to sign Kyle Lowry in the offseason, but I know this. Ujiri's shot at Brooklyn got the attention of people who hadn't already brought into the on-court product. It was so perfect, as was Ujiri's non-apology at halftime, that it made me wonder if it wasn't scripted. I mean, seriously, I wouldn't put anything past Tim Lewicki. Look, I've said it for a long time. These Raptors are crafting the most intriguing storyline we've seen out of a Toronto sports team in a generation. Even if they lose, it's going to be easy to blame the system because, as expected, the NBA's referees appear to be squarely in the pay of the Nets, which is kind of what we all expected, given the fact that NBA officials have the least amount of integrity of officials in any professional sport. So if I were you, I'd be all over them Tuesday night at the Air Canada Centre. Never mind turning the ACC into a living hell for the Nets. I'd direct my wrath at the officiating crew because they are so clearly under instructions from the NBA to give the Nets the benefit of the doubt. No wonder the same teams always win the NBA championship. It is impossible, folks, for a team like the Nets to go an entire quarter without committing a foul. It's just impossible. One foul. An offensive foul with 1 minute left? I mean, seriously? Jesus God, you got to give the Nets just... You got to give them three fouls just on principle alone. I mean, Kevin Garnett gets two for being so ugly. So here's what we need, Toronto. All you swells sitting courtside, all you folks in Gucci Row, take up a collection for the referees before the game. Empty the wallets. It'll be our way of telling the NBA to go bleep itself. And answer this question for me this morning. Was Masai Ujiri's call to arms a defining moment in Raptors history?
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
Yeah, I can get behind anything.
Really, that was one of the most bizarre, best days Toronto fans, any fans of any Toronto team I've had in a long time. This is such a compelling series. I mean, there's so many aspects to this that Toronto loves, right? I mean, the unexpected, the blue-collar ethic of the team. You know, an easy opponent to hate. You can respect them, too. You can respect somebody and hate them at the same time. There's no doubt about that. And, of course, you've got the whole officiating storyline. That was going to be a storyline. We talked about this. That was going to be a storyline going into the series. I mean, the NBA is a league that is run by reputation. And we all know that there is no way that the Raptors are ever going to get the benefit of the doubt from NBA officials. It's just not going to happen. Not this year. But you know what? I think as a result of what we've seen this season, as a result of what we've heard from the Raptors, I think steps are being taken to the point where next year you're going to see this franchise get more on-court respect. I think what Masai Ujiri said was in some ways necessary. We've seen this Raptors team in the past, even when it didn't make the playoffs, we've seen a fall victim to lousy officiating. And every sport, I understand, every sport has suspect officiating at some point. Man, I cover baseball, and we can have a long conversation about strike zones and how reputations matter when it comes to strike zones. But I'll tell you what, as off the wall as strike zones can be in baseball, chances are pretty good that at some point a pitcher with a big reputation is going to get called. He's going to throw a ball at one point. I don't care who you are as a home plate umpire. You're not going to call every pitch a strike. In the NBA, you literally give a team the free pass in the fourth quarter. Matt Devlin is the play-by-play voice of the Raptors. He is the man who spoke about the playoff whistle last week with us. And I know he wasn't talking necessarily about what we saw in the fourth quarter. But it's a phrase that has stuck with me. And Matt Devlin joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Jeff. How are you? What a beautiful day.
Oh, it's awesome. Matt, one game into this playoff series, tell me what concerns you after game one, and tell me what gives you hope that the Raptors can win the series.
Well, let me start with what gives me hope, because I think I've spent probably more time thinking about that. I've thought about a lot since the last game. Number one, in agreement with you, that there are so many storylines right now that potentially make this a tremendous, as well as potentially long first-round matchup, that all the Raptors need to do is win a game. Mm-hmm. I mean, between the scene outside on Maple Leaf Square, you know, obviously Masai Ujiri, all the things that are around this series, to me, have some great, great storylines. The thing to me that when I look at this, and you say, okay, you took the first punch in that game, and you walk away and you say, all right, 19 turnovers. You can't turn the ball over 19 times, but yet you were still in the game. DeMar DeRozan, clearly his first playoff game, there were some jitters. There's no question about it. For the first time in a while, you know, DeMar was forcing it a little bit. You could tell he was rattled a little bit, and I hadn't seen that in a long time in him, but it's all understandable. Mm-hmm. And he goes 3 of 13 from the field, but yet you're in the game. Then you combine that with your 3 and 4 that are combined 2 of 6 for 5 points, and so you say to yourself, if Ross and Amir can get going, hey, you know what? That would be a positive, and you're right in it. Then off of the bench, you have Vasquez, who continues his hot shooting from three-point range, 18 points. Patrick Patterson looks to be back because he was shooting just 36% over the course of the 9 games. And then, of course, you have Jonas Valanciunas with the new franchise record, 18 rebounds for a playoff game. He was, in the first game, so big, and you got to continue to work that matchup. If there are any concerns, you know, the concern to me is, you know, number one, does a trend begin where, you know, Terrence and Amir and DeMar, you know, all of a sudden get into a slump where they're not going to be able to respond? And then also the bench of Brooklyn, you know, you were really fortunate that Plumlee was in foul trouble. He had 5 fouls, and Blatch really was a non-factor as well, because those two guys, when you look at the numbers, are a better matchup, you know, against Jonas, as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin Garnett, Jonas really takes a great, great advantage of that matchup, and that's understandable when you speak to the length. And then the other thing is, how do you corral, not Darren Williams, you know, the guy that was most impactful, not Joe Johnson, and Darren Williams, by the way, was extremely impactful early. He had 18 early, but the Raptors did a great job in the second half. But Paul Pierce down the stretch, 9 straight points. And you're going to have to figure out, okay, who are we putting on that body late to take him away?
Can you win, though, Matt, when, and look, I was having some fun at the expense of the NBA officials, but clearly we know that this is it's a reputation-driven league. And can you honestly win if, you know, if the Brooklyn Nets are going to get away with one foul in the fourth quarter of a playoff game. Like, I'm sorry. I understand you don't call. It, in some ways, playoff basketball is like any other sport. If you really want, you can probably call a foul on just about every play. But, I mean, come on, one offensive foul?
No, I agree. The fourth quarter, one offensive foul late on Deron Williams, I think you kind of shake your head. Hubie Brown, two things, and I've shared one of them, I know, with you before. You know, reputations are made or broken in the playoffs. I believe that. When you're a player, it's all about the playoffs. I mean, think of Robert Horry. Think of Derek Fisher.
Sure.
You know, and I'm not talking about, you know, you can also talk about the elite players, but, you know, these are moments for guys to stand up, and I thought Jonas did a great job with that, and as did Kyle Lowry. He was tremendous. You know, and then the other thing, you know, Hubie used to always say, it's not the call, it's the non-call, right? It's not the fact that you committed the foul. It's the fact that you were in your offensive flow, that you had contact, and there was no call. And I think that's what you kind of saw there, right? I mean, it's the non-call against the Raptors where, you know, a young team, and you didn't see it. And were there opportunities that you could have seen a whistle? Absolutely. Conversely, did the Raptors, you know, get a whistle blown against them? Yes, they did. You know, was that a factor? When you look in the second half, Brooklyn was 13 of 14 from the line. The Raptors were 4 of 4. In the fourth quarter, Brooklyn was 8 of 8 from the free throw line. Raptors, 0. And mind you, DeMar DeRozan was fourth in the league in free throws made, top five in the league at getting to the free throw line. Now, with all that being said, can you overcome that? You can overcome it. And how do you do it? You don't come out in the first quarter the way the Raptors did, you know, where it got a flow to it, where buckets were easy. I think you got to set that tempo early on. And I think the Raptors are certainly capable of that.
Matt Devlin joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Matt, the words that Masai Ujiri said at Maple Leaf Square, it's funny because I had a couple of people tweet me and send emails as well telling me that, you know, one guy with the organization, because I sent him an email and said, is this the way Masai usually talks? And the response was, well, yes. he said he can turn the air blue very, very, very quickly. What did you make of that? Because you know what? There are people out there who are going to roll their eyes, but given I think how basketball fans in this city kind of have a chip in their shoulder. You know, look, we talk about this. We know how the Raptors get treated on TV. We've talked about that. You know, and for a variety of reasons, the coverage they get. Maybe basketball fans in this city, in some ways, they're like baseball fans. It's always the Leafs, right? What the hell do we have to do to be in the front page? Or what do we have to do to lead off the show? It's always the Leafs. And I thought in a lot of ways, as kind of silly as that moment was, that's a moment that we're going to be replaying an awful lot. You know, all the year-end shows, Matt, the year-end sports shows, Masai Ujiri's going to be front and center in those. You know that next year, the very first Raptors game, they're going to be replaying that. What did you make of it?
Well, you mentioned so many, you know, great things that I think that a lot of people, it does, you know, and certainly resonates with them with respect to, you know, who the Raptors are, not only in this marketplace and throughout the country, but then also throughout the NBA.
Sure.
And, you know, people say, well, geez, you know, we're not on U.S. networks. But, you know, here locally even and nationally, you know, nights there, it's hard for a basketball fan or even a casual fan to find out where they are on the channel. And we've talked about that in the past. And you have that, but you also have, in my opinion, the most passionate, and I'm not just saying this, the most passionate fan base that I have seen. And I think it was an example on Saturday because there were people, you know, asking me, do you think that it's going to be packed like it was with the Leafs? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, really? You think so? I'm like, yes. You know, people here don't even believe it. And so if you here don't believe how great this fan base is, I mean, I know, you know, you know, there are people that know. Well, how are other people going to believe it as well? And then you have this great fan base that's there, that's ready, you know, to, you know, capture the moment. It's ready to take the next step. You have a team also as well that's ready. And now you have, you know, Masai, who is as passionate as an individual and understandably so, you know, is saying, hey, enough is enough. And that's essentially what he was saying. Enough is enough. I mean, the choice of words, as he said, you know, maybe he could have used a better choice of words there. But, you know, he was essentially saying enough is enough. You know, this is who we are, and we're not backing down to anyone. Mm-hmm. And he knows that from the standpoint of having been with other organizations coming in, as does Dwayne Casey coming in, as do a lot of players from other organizations coming in. And they would come to this city and say, eh, it's a soft team. You know what? We get this W and we just move on. And, you know, Dwayne has really tried to change that. And I think with that statement, I think Masai was saying enough is enough. You know what? We belong here. You know what? We, you know, deserve this moment. The fans deserve the moment. And, you know, we're not backing down to anyone. And I think, you know, that the team has certainly embraced that sort of mentality. And I think the fans have. I mean, you know, inside that arena, I mean, 12:30 start time, that place was rocking. Mm-hmm. It was jumping. And during the anthem, it gave me chills. You know, the Canadian National Anthem, it gave me chills when the anthem singer stopped and the whole building took over. It was just one of the great moments leading up to tip-off.
Matt, it was good of you to do this. Thanks so much. I'm like you. I think this is, it's going to be a long series. I mean, I said at the start, I still like the Raptors' chances against Brooklyn. There was a lot of things I saw in that game. You talked about Jonas Valanciunas. I thought that once we get into the fourth or fifth game of this series, there are things maybe we may be looking back at game one positively and going, boy, that was a sign of something to come.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think there's a lot to hang your hat on right now.
Well, there's no doubt. Look at, and you said this off the top, there's so many great storylines here. If the Raptors get one, this thing really is going to take over.
Yeah. Matt, it was great to do this. Take care. That is Matt Devlin. He is the TV voice of the Raptors. Again, the Raptors and Brooklyn Nets play their second game of that series tomorrow night. Now, look, I've spoken an awful lot about NBA officiating. I mean, I've covered a lot of sports. I've been to a lot of big events. And I understand that there's a human element to it. I mean, I'm the guy telling you that I don't think video replay is the answer to everything. But, man alive, that the officiating that the NBA runs out on a fairly regular basis is beyond embarrassing. It really is. And, you know, look, I understand there are demands on officials. I understand players are bigger. The game is faster. But officials in every sport deal with that. And I just think there are more missed calls right in front of the referee, right in front of the official in basketball than there are in any other sport. And with all due respect to NBA officials, they're not in skates. They're indoors. Some of the guys who are fouling are 6'10". I mean, if I can see it from my corner seat, they ought to be able to see it. I understand NBA players don't always help themselves because NBA players bitch on every call. Somebody's complaining. I mean, NBA, it's like soccer. Somebody's always whining when a call is made. So I guess the human nature aspect of it is if you're a referee, you go, God, here we go again. But I think that fourth quarter, that's inexcusable. That's inexcusable in a playoff game. It really is. And again, this is a league. There's a reason that the same teams keep winning all the time. There's a reason. And yeah, look, LeBron James is the best player in the league. He's a tremendous player. One of the best players ever. Maybe the best player ever. He's going to get his. That's fine. But no league makes it tougher on the underdog than the NBA does. And I think that's by directive from the league office. I think there's an unspoken suggestion to the referees that, quite frankly, nobody wants Toronto and Golden State in a final. Whoever, you want your big teams in a final. That's why you often get it. So I want to talk about the officiating, but I also really want to talk about Masai Ujiri's statement, because to me, what I heard, and again, I'm not entirely certain that was unscripted. I wouldn't put anything past Tim Lewicki, to be honest. I'm not entirely certain that was unscripted. This is, you know, it came at a time where we've got the Raptors launching their rebrand, you know, and the rebrand is essentially a play on the underdog, right? It's, hey, we play basketball up north here. You know, we've got courtyards up here. We've got guys who go out in cold weather and shoot baskets here. We're like New York. You can go to places in Toronto, and there's a great pickup game going on. It's a statement to the NBA that this is something more than just some northern outpost. At the root of everything the Raptors do is a sense of frustration. It's a demand for respect. And that's not a bad thing. You heard our discussion with Matt Devlin about this. Folks, I know. I love basketball. I go to games. I watch basketball on TV. And it's hard to be a basketball fan in this city, because you always feel as if you're getting short shrift compared to the Maple Leafs. But I mean, it's hard to be a baseball fan, too, in this city. It's hard to be a fan of anybody other than the Leafs in this city. And you know what? I'm not hammering on the Leafs. The ratings, if you ever want to know why the Leafs are number one in this city, take a look at phone lines and take a look at ratings. I mean, it's very simple. They drive the sports discussion in this city. But there is an underlying, the result of that is an underlying frustration. What I heard from Masai Ujiri was, you know, screw Brooklyn for wanting to finish, for tanking part of the season so they could get us. You know, screw the NBA. Screw the Toronto sports scene, because for not giving us our rightful place. That's what I think it was. And good in Masai Ujiri. I don't know if it'll work. Like I said, I don't know if it's going to get him to re-sign Kyle Lowry. But I had absolutely no problem with it. Benjamin in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What's up, Benjamin?
Jeff, it's not that easy to be a Leaf fan as well, I got to tell you. It actually just sucks in general to be a Toronto sports fan, to be completely honest. But I got to say, for a while now, I used to bet with my friends on the NBA here and there, and without question, no doubt, the league is, to at least some circumstances, fixed. And it's a really sad reality, just because of how much myself and how many millions of people actually try and enjoy the product. But I mean, that game, Toronto versus Nets game one. I mean, the two, just right from the get go, the two ticky-tack fouls on Terrence Ross, their best perimeter defender, the block Jonas had on Garnett, clean block. Ref is right there, calls a foul. Deron Williams flopping. Obviously, he's not going to get fined because he's Deron Williams, even though there was, you know, barely any contact between Lowry and him, and he's holding his face. It's just really, really tough, you know what I mean? And it's extremely frustrating, disheartening. And, you know, Ed Molloy is a traditional Raptor killer as an NBA ref. And it just... I hate to see the Raptors get jobbed, you know what I mean?
Look, I have said, thanks for the call, and I've said time and again, I mean, I've defended referees, I've defended NHL referees more than anybody in the station, I've defended baseball umpires more than anybody in the station. I will not defend NBA officials, because I think they're horrible. And I think they take it upon themselves to have a direct play a direct role in the outcome of the game. I really do. I think they're just awful. They are the worst in professional sports by far. Oren Satoff on Twitter and join the conversation on Twitter. Use the hashtag Blair Show. As bullish as Matt Devlin is, even he had to say if the Raps get one. The question is, are the Raps in the NBA script? That is so well said. However, and this is, Oren Sadoff goes on, you know, Jeff, you said no league makes it tougher in the underdog. The Raps aren't supposed to be the underdog. They won the division. You know, where's the respect for that? Where's the respect for that? The Raptors were a better team than the Nets. So if you're going to call the game based on reputation, shouldn't the Raptors be getting the benefit of the doubt? You know, for people who think that, wow, this is just Toronto talk show host whining. Was last year, Brian Colangelo had to go to the league office twice because there were clear, glaring mistakes by officials that cost Raptors games. It was the last year that Andrea Bargnani, I think it was against Charlotte, gets hacked taking the shot. Everybody in the arena knew he was going to get the ball. He's out on the wing taking a three-point shot. He gets hacked. No call. Dave in Scarborough, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, thanks. Great show.
Thank you.
I want to address something refereeing, too. Didn't they put a rule in against diving last year or something?
Flopping, diving. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't matter if you're LeBron James. If you're LeBron James, you can flop around like a whale. Same with Pearson Garnett.
Well, look what happened on Saturday. Lowry got called for a foul, and he barely touched a guy.
Yeah.
He went down, he got shot from the grassy knoll or something like that. It was ridiculous. I mean, we're never going to get a call. We all know that, but at least be fair, right?
Yeah, Mike Verdilli, Mikey Ver on Twitter, Lewicki should call out the refs, pay the fine, make a huge statement. That may be the next thing we need to see from the Raptors here. Somebody may need to take a shot at the refs. You know, somebody may need to call them out. Somebody may need to call out the refs. *550-0590 *888-666-0590. You can use the hashtag Blair Show to join in the conversation. Hey, really? One offensive foul in the fourth quarter? Are you kidding me? You watch that game? It's brutal. John in Mississauga, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Good, man.
Hey,
no disrespect to the Leafs, but isn't it great to start a freaking show with hoops?
Well, you know what? Actually, what I was going to say applies to hockey, too. This idea of tanking is ridiculous, and it should be obviously not allowed, but in the current system, it can happen. But I have an idea. So imagine if you've got eight teams. First place the number eight as it stands right now, second place seventh, and so on. Well, how about if you have the first four teams actually get to pick in order, 1, 2, 3, 4, which of the remaining four teams they want to play?
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah, so the Raptors would have gotten to pick whatever, Washington or whatever. I mean, you can't have the bottom teams actually sort of manipulate the standings. So you actually have the teams picking themselves.
Yeah, I like that. Or do a lottery. Of course, that would be fixed, too. Oh, by the way, while we're at it, did you guys see on the local fish wrap that the borough president in Brooklyn or whatever, with his team up one game to nothing, bet, I think it was he betting Rob Ford a six-pack of craft beer? First of all, our mayor doesn't do anything for six-pack. Dime bag, maybe. But doesn't that say Brooklyn? Yeah, we'll bet a six of beer. I don't know what does Brooklyn have to bet? I don't know. Hipsters. Travis McKenzie suggests hipsters. 416-870-0590 *591-888-666-0590. Like, you know, we should all do that. We should wait until our teams are up in the series, like two games to nothing, and then bet. Let's bet in the outcome of the series. Jesus, God. Let's go to Tony in Toronto before we take the break here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What's up, Tony?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
I think, you know, if the refs can pretty much say F Toronto, I don't think the jury said anything wrong. They had a big impact on the game because they basically said, screw Toronto. They don't respect the team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been watching the NBA for 20 years, and, like, I pretty much, like, stopped watching for the last, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years. I'm into it now because the Raptors are good again. But, like,
same old game, isn't it? I mean, I know what you're going through. It's like you come back because you're going, God, I'm all worked up about the Raptors. I'm jacked up. Then you watch the game and you go, eh, same officials.
Yeah. I'm like, LeBron is the best player in the league. That's why you shouldn't give him calls, because he's the best player.
Yeah.
Let him prove that he's the best player. Maybe after all, probably he's not even the best player, because who knows? There's probably a guy that probably would win championships. That's not getting called.
Well, and here's the thing, Tony. I appreciate the call. I got news for the NBA refs. Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, they're not the best players out on the court in this series. I mean, they're not. They're yesterday's news. They're not the best players. If you're going to give anybody a break on fouls, it's got to be DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, because they're better players than those two. Those two guys have had their day. They don't deserve the leeway they get from NBA officials. They don't. They're done. They don't deserve that respect. DeMar DeRozan deserves much more respect than Paul Pierce. Kyle Lowry deserves much more respect than Kevin Garnett. I mean, really. 416-870-0590-*590, 1-888-666-0590. Let's continue our discussion about Masai Ujiri. That call to arms at Maple Leaf Square on Saturday. And the NBA officials. I mean, there's so many storylines out of this. We haven't even talked about the basketball stuff. This is a lot of fun. This is a great series. This is a defining moment for this franchise. It may be a defining moment, sports moment for this city. We don't usually have this much fun, do we? Even last year's playoffs with the Leafs, that was okay. That wasn't as much fun as this. The shot clock not working, all that stuff. It's tremendous. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Glenn Healy, Buck Martinez, Stephen Brundle join us. Baseball Central got a lot to talk about. Jays have the day off. They will play, they will start their homestand with a series against Baltimore Orioles. First game tomorrow, Pete Walker, the Blue Jays pitching coach, will join us at 11:15 in Baseball Central. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. We're going to continue talking basketball, however. Going to continue talking Raptors. This is the Jeff Blair Show, and this is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Cooler than Math Club, and almost as cool as Chess Club, The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
*590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Andrew Spedzinski on Twitter. If the NBA ran the PGA Tour, Tiger and Phil would start every tournament 5 under. Yeah, that's very true. Too bad Tiger Woods wasn't in the NBA. He'd be able to play till he's 110. Man, no wonder old farts like Kevin Garnett got to hang around. We got the referees. I mean, it's basically like having a referee help you around the court if you're Kevin Garnett. Let me get your hand, Kevin. Let me help you around the court here. Nigel in Oakville, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Good, man.
The reason for my call, a couple of things. Number one, this league was founded on fixing from the Lakers and Celtics, get them on there, get the ratings up. But I think at this point, the league can let it go. The product's good enough to work it by itself. Second thing is, as far as Masai, I think everything he's doing is to be part of that script, to be the underdog. Everyone loves the underdog. And who better to tell it than the guy who started from the bottom?
Yeah, no, you know, my only question is, I mean, as somebody pointed out on Twitter, wait a minute, who won the division? Yeah, you know, I agree with you, but really, who should be getting the respect here? The young upstart Raptors or the old, you know, crappy tanking Brooklyn Nets? I mean, who's more worthy of your respect if you're the NBA? You got same old with the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, I don't know. Maybe the Nets. I don't know. Maybe the Nets feel they owe, or the NBA feels they owe something to the Nets. I don't know. But really, which team is worthy of more respect? Which team's the future? The Nets aren't the future. The Nets are an old, creaking, rotting hull.
But this isn't about respect. It's about money, right?
Well, yeah, but I guess. I don't know. Are you saying that, the Raptors have less money than the Nets? TV ratings? Here's the thing. TV ratings, they're going to be what they're going to be. I don't think the Brooklyn Nets are going to boost TV ratings necessarily. I mean, maybe because it's a New York market, but I think the hardcore basketball fan in New York is going to watch, or the basketball fan in New York is going to watch a series regardless of whether or not the Brooklyn Nets are in there. Oh, I have to admit, it would be kind of fun, wouldn't it, if the Nets won the NBA title? I mean, how do you think that would go down with James Dolan and MSG? That would be kind of fun. Eddie in Fort Erie, you're on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. The fix is in, isn't it, Eddie?
Yeah, it is. It's I just don't know what to say about the game, but you know what? I have a lot, and there's something that came up to me right now. The NBA don't know what it's like to fight, scratch your way back to where you were back in the Vince Carter era. And you know what? That's what bothers me the most, because the Raptors were so far on the ground, nobody gave a you-know-what about them, and now they want to take everything that they've worked hard for the last 12 months of the year. Forget it.
Listen, I'm with you, Eddie. Who's more worthy of your respect if you're the NBA, the Raptors or, you know, the Brooklyn Nets? I mean, the Brooklyn Nets are in a lot of ways, they represent the worst of the NBA. You know, the kind of the whole, we're going to tank so we can get the Raptors in the first round. I mean, for a league that always has to worry about its credibility and always has to worry about being on the up and up, I don't know why you'd respect the Brooklyn Nets. Russell in Moncton, New Brunswick, you're in Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What's up, Russell?
Hi, Jeff. I just wanted to complain about the Toronto fans. Everyone is excited about the Raptors. It's one playoff series. I know there's been futility, but for the love of God, it's not like they're in the finals.
So what are they supposed to do? Not be excited about it, not get pissed off at bad officiating? They should pretend it's a preseason game?
Well, I find everyone comes across as being a crybaby. There's bad calls, yes.
Nah, you know what, Russell? With all due respect, if you watch this franchise, and if this franchise gets screwed by the officials regularly, and it's not just the Raptors. Hey, other franchises do as well. The smaller franchises in the NBA get screwed. That's why they never win.
Yes, but the bigger thing here is if you're not getting the fouls, which I agree, the Raptors aren't getting the foul calls that they should, but just put the ball in the hoop. Don't worry about the fouls. Put the three-pointers, put the baskets, and don't let the referees handle your game.
Yeah, but you know what? You've seen enough playoff basketball. You know that that doesn't happen. It's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence the number of times that an NBA playoff game, a close NBA playoff game, comes down to the team with the better reputation winning. And it's not all because they're better clutch players. It's because they get more breaks from the officials. That's always been that way. And we know that. It's why it's the same teams win over and over and over and over and over again in the NBA. It's one of the reasons. That doesn't mean it's right. And we haven't had a chance to talk about it in this city because we haven't had a playoff, an NBA playoff game in this city for a while. We've never had a Raptors team in the playoffs that people like as much as this team. People, for a variety of reasons, want this team to succeed. Even people, here's the difference between this Raptors team and other Raptors teams. People who weren't basketball fans, couldn't have cared less than Vince Carter's Raptors teams won. Didn't matter. But they like this team. People who are just accidental or casual basketball fans like this team. You know why they like this team? Because it's done the one thing no Toronto team has done for almost a generation, and that's given you a surprise playoff appearance. giving you that, holy crap, these guys are in first place moment. Haven't had that around here for a while. Mark in Hamilton, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, how you doing there, brother? Good morning, first of all.
Good morning.
I was actually at the game on Saturday at Maple Leaf Square. I was watching it with my little sister, and I want to talk about, first of all, the ref, and I'll get to Masai after. If we're going to, like, whine about the refs and, you know, all these calls, it really shows that our team's never going to go anywhere because, you know, you need to stop whining about
They whine about it in Charlotte. They whine about it in smaller cities. God, I'll tell you what. Take a look at even markets like San Antonio. I mean, they whine about officials there.
I think, like, even before the series started, I was watching all these Raptor Republic forums are putting up, oh, we're going to get screwed by the refs. I mean, even before the series started, like, we just need to stop whining about it and just play it out. Because if you keep whining about it, and this shows that, you know, we're never going to go anywhere. Like, it's just, I'm really sick and tired of, oh, the refs. Just, no, we lost the game because we lost, not all right. The refs. Okay, I went to the game. I was there when Masai dropped the F-bomb, and I had my little sister with me. And it was kind of really disappointing. I didn't, you know, my sister's 7 years old. I didn't want her to hear that, you know, kind of words. And she had a little chuckle, but still, it was unprofessional of him to do that. But.
Yeah, you know what, Mark? A couple of people have sent me emails about that as well. And it's one of those things, I have no problem with what Masai did, but I totally understand why people would. And then the question becomes, all right, if you understand why people would have a problem with it, should he not have said it?
No, I just think, you know, in a setting where you got kids, you shouldn't be dropping the F-bombs. If it was, you know, an adult situation where they said, okay, you know, all the adults come to the Raptors game, no kids, but you had a lot of kids there. It was kind of inappropriate, but that, I'll leave that to...
Mark, that totally, both points, totally well made and totally accepted. I mean, can't argue against it. Can't argue against it. I know there are people out there that were disappointed in Masai Ujiri. I know that. And I bet Masai Ujiri's heard from a lot of them. James in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good morning, Jeff. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, man.
I think it's only one game. Raptors just got to man up, and they'll go out and take care of business the next game. They got to. They have no choice. They lose the next one, the series is done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? As far as the refereeing, they just got, as long as they do take care of their business on the court, they shouldn't let the referees interfere with the game. But that being said, I think the NBA does want Brooklyn to go past this round because they represent the New York market, and that's a big television market.
Yeah, I kind of threw out there that I don't even know if Brooklyn would count. Yeah, it obviously would. I mean, I realized as soon as I said, Jeff, that's kind of a dumbass thing to say. Of course, it's a New York market. That's a big TV market. Yeah, I agree with you. And that's just another reason to make me think that the sucker that the Fix is in here. Really. I think the Fix is in from the NBA head office. I think the NBA head office should send out a press release telling people that the Fix isn't in. See what happens. It'll be fun. This is going to be great fun. There's going to be a lot of fodder. We got the Raptors playing tomorrow night. We'll have more anger, more angst, more bitterness today, I'm sure. That'll be awesome. We can always talk about NBA officiating. It's like mother's milk for a talk show host. So is the NHL playoffs. I got to tell you, though, these NHL playoffs first round, They're not holding my attention that much. They really aren't. Montreal Tampa's been kind of disappointing. I've never seen a more boring triple overtime game than Chicago and St. Louis. And what the hell happened to the LA Kings? Glenn Healy of Hockey Night in Canada will join us. We'll discuss, 4 days worth of NHL playoffs. We'll talk about Brent Seabrook, the Canadiens. Talk about the LA Kings in particular. Absolutely. Maybe the most remarkable thing about this series, a total no-show on the part of the LA Kings. Glenn Healy will join us. Buck Martinez, Stephen Brunt will join us. Reuben Hurricane Carter passed away in the weekend. Brunt will tell us why that is significant. We'll talk about Reuben Hurricane Carter. And then it's Baseball Central. All that ahead
on the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.